Good morning and welcome. It is a happy hump day, Trump Day. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. And your time check brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. One of the biggest local stories. Santa Fe and UF have graduation ceremonies going on all this weekend. So the roads and restaurants are going to be packed. You might want to plan accordingly for that. But joining us right now, we've got Congresswoman Kat Kamick with us. And good morning, Kat. How are you?
Good morning, fellas. We are staying very busy up here in Washington. And congratulations to all of our grads this weekend. You did it.
Right on. Hey, I saw your press release on this bill. It's a Charlotte Woodward Organ Transplant Discrimination Prevention Act. So basically, this just says you can't discriminate against somebody because maybe they have Down syndrome or whatever, and they need a new organ, which to me, that's easy peasy. I thought, wow, this will be one of the easiest pieces of legislation to pass. Who would possibly vote against it, right?
Well, we are very much in the middle of silly season. And of course, the bill was inspired by Charlotte Woodward, who is now an adult with Down syndrome, who successfully received a heart transplant, but not for lack of issues in trying to receive it. And then, of course, in our own backyard in Ocala, we had baby Zion, who was born with Down syndrome, all organs fully operational, functional, brain activity was great, but was denied a heart transplant because the doctor said they couldn't, quote, waste a heart. And unfortunately, tragically, baby Zion died. And so I was inspired by Josh and Bobby, who are baby Zion's parents, as well as Charlotte. We wrote the bill thinking this could not be any easier to get passed. Oh, goodness. Yesterday, I saw something incredible. It was like the body snatchers came and took the Democrats and replaced them with, it was just unbelievable. Not only did they try to stall the bill, and then ultimately block the bill, but they were trying to throw things on there as amendments to require vaccinations in order to be able to receive a transplant. One amendment they wanted attached to the bill was to dismantle DOGE. And it was basically a five-hour tirade of the Democrats screaming about how much they hate Elon Musk and Donald Trump. And in the end, we got the bill passed because, thankfully, we have the majority, but there were still Democrats that voted against it. And that is just, I think, so indicative of where we are at as a country. They cannot stand that they are losing. They're taking the 5% of every issue in the most extreme ways. And it's just really sad to see the state of affairs in the country, where they're coming from.
Well, you've got like Gretchen Whitmer. It looks like she kind of made peace with the president a little bit. And you've got a Democrat also, just happened to be from Michigan, Debbie Dingell, who co-authored, co-sponsored the bill with you. So you've got a few Democrats maybe on your side, but you've got a bunch that are trying to fight this thing. It really, again, doesn't make sense. Why don't they ever play out what would happen eventually if you started to do the litmus test of who deserves an organ and who doesn't? And what are you going to do? Start giving IQ tests? Oh, this kid, he's a gifted athlete. You got to give him the heart. That kid over there, he just reads books all day. I mean, where would it end if you started using and all this additional criteria?
Well, it wouldn't, and that's the thing. And I said it in my remarks. I said we don't play God. No one has the right to sit there and pick and choose who deserves an organ over someone else. That's not how the system was designed. And unfortunately, it's become all too frequent in the country, across the country, really, that people with disabilities are being denied organs. And there's a whole host of issues within the organ transplant community as a whole. We had an entire hearing on this where we discovered that over 7,500 organs every year go missing. They can't be accounted for. I mean, obviously, I immediately go to, okay, so clearly there's some sort of black market situation. You just can't randomly lose that many organs. But there's a lot of issues to contend with. This one just was one about being a human, being a decent human being, and standing up for people with disabilities. It was a no-brainer. But, you know, Bernie Sanders in the Senate, he tried to kill it last year. and said that he wanted a requirement that that trans individuals would get priority when it came to organ transplants. And so we've had a real fight just to get this through the committee process. Next stop, it goes to the House floor, and then ultimately we'll get it to the president's desk. But it is going to be a long fight. If they're going to fight that hard on this issue, imagine what they're going to do on everything else.
How did he try to sell it that somehow a trans person should take priority over any other human being?
He wanted to elevate gender dysphoria on the disability list. And I kind of just cocked my head when I heard him say this. And I said, I'm sorry, wait. You want to elevate gender dysphoria on the disability list, actually acknowledging that it is a mental illness. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, never interrupt your opponent when they're making a mistake. But at the same time, I'm like, you again are trying to pick and choose winners. A government official is trying to pick and choose who is more important. And so ultimately it failed in the Senate last Congress. But yeah, I don't think he really understood what he was doing. He was actually almost really saying the quiet part out loud, but that's going to be interesting when they pick it up in the Senate. But one thing we did pick up yesterday is the playbook of the left. The next 2 weeks, we will be working through the budget reconciliation, and it is pretty clear what the talking points of the left are going to be. It's going to be about hatred. It's going to be about Donald Trump, Elon Musk, and they're going to play the victim card over and over and over and over again.
Well, I think hopefully enough people have kind of caught on to that. Whether or not you can get enough lawmakers on your side, obviously, is a whole new can of worms, I guess. I think you're doing the right thing. So now it did get through the House, this Charlotte Woodward Organ Transplant Discrimination Prevention Act. It did make it completely through the whole House?
No, it just made it through the Committee of Jurisdiction. Next stop is the House floor. Then it goes to the Senate. And Marco Rubio, now Secretary of State Rubio, he had carried it in the Senate along for us and was trying to hotline it. Because, again, this shouldn't be a controversial issue.
Right.
This is something we come together as Americans on. But, like I said, Bernie Sanders, he stopped it and wanted those additional provisions attached to it. And it goes back to the very simple concept of single-issue bills. If you think that your amendment is so very important, put it as a standalone bill and let it go on its own merit. Stop trying to attach it to everything else. And so that is a frustration that I've certainly had. I know a lot of our constituents have had about the process up here, is that there's no single-issue bills. And so we've been really working to try to change that. We're in the middle of trying to make it so that members of Congress can't trade individual corporate stocks. Josh Hawley just introduced the Pelosi Act. I mean, we're trying desperately to clean up government, and it seems like the left is so hell-bent on protecting the bureaucracy that it's mind-blowing that they would rather see people hurt and suffer rather than look at the bureaucracy and its failures and really address it head-on. I mean, that to me is just very telling of what the playbook is of the left.
Yeah, at the very least, they're just simply out of touch, and we know it's much worse than that. Congresswoman Kat Kamick, always a pleasure. Look forward to talking to you again soon.
Absolutely. First 100 days down for the presidency many, many more good days to come. So go Trump, go Gators, and y'all have a great rest of the week.
And same to you. Thank you. It's 8:16. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Don't forget, the Bob Rose Show, available on podcast, wherever you normally download your podcast. Click on subscribe, and you'll never miss a minute of the show. Coming up, the State Department revokes foreign student visas. We'll explain why next on 97.3 The Sky.
They have no control, and the reason is they've lost their confidence. They have no confidence anymore as a party. They have no candidates. And you know, when they say that Bernie's probably the best they have, by the way, he's about 7 years older than me, more, 8 years older. One thing I got to give him credit, he's a lunatic, but he's still pretty sharp.
Good morning and welcome. That, of course, was President Donald J. Trump celebrating his first 100 days in office in his second term. And this was in Warren, Michigan, yesterday afternoon. It's 8:21. Your time check brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. One of the big things that Trump has always put as a priority, because it has such strong ties to economics, that's energy. Energy. So more exploration, more drilling, more of all of the above. And that's the kind of approach we need. Even that dirty word, coal. Yeah. And it's a good thing, because we just got maybe a little bit of a heads up, a little bit of a warning. And this happened in Europe. Greg knows, he had friends that were over there. It was a blackout. Spain, Portugal, France, Belgium. His friends had to walk down 5 flights of stairs. Not fun, but they're okay. But this thing apparently could have taken out really all of Europe. And let me explain. Spain lost about 60% of its electricity within about 5 seconds. France and Belgium were also hit. Everybody experienced some level of disruption to transportation, communication, and overall daily life. Now, rumors spread the blackout was caused by some rare cosmic phenomenon. Nope, that was ruled out. Sorry. Investigations also then ruled out cyber attacks and weather-related events. I, in my own mind, thought cyber attack possible, to be honest with you. The early findings suggest that the sudden loss in solar power in southwestern Spain was what triggered everything.
Okay.
Yeah, in other words, you know, first of all, you've got a grid that apparently is so precarious that a sudden loss in solar power in just one small little plant can cause the whole thing to go down like a bunch of dominoes. But apparently, at least as of now, that's what they believe the problem is.
Interesting.
So this incident shines a light on the growing debate over renewable energy sources and not having proper backup systems. Think about how that just that little thing that happened impacted 4 countries and just about brought down 2 of them, and it could have been worse. Spain is one of Europe's leaders in renewable energy, with over 75% of its electricity coming from renewable sources. Now, net zero just isn't a reality, but that's exactly what Spain is pushing. Canada is trying to get, you know, a net zero. They've got to learn from these things. You have to have some kind of backup systems in case of an emergency. Again, this was a small, you know, solar generating plant. And it was able to really take down countries.
That's scary, scary thought.
It is, but at least we have a president that understands how important energy needs are. And by the way, these countries, they want to hook up to the whole AI thing, supercomputers and all of that. They're not prepared for that.
No, they're not.
They are not. They don't have the grid to sustain that. And it doesn't sound like they're going to do a lot about it other than maybe build a couple more windmills and a couple more solar collecting things, which, you know, you have a few cloudy days and you're not producing anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're producing net zero. Anyway, all right. Tonight, Trump Town Hall, first 100 days tonight here on the Sky, 8 to 10 p.m. You might want to check that out. In the first 100 days of President Donald Trump's second term, the State Department revoked the visas of 4,000 foreign students, 90% of whom have criminal records. Our visa system has lacked oversight and accountability, according to a senior State Department official. Over the past 100 days, the Trump administration has worked to fix a broken system. A source additionally told the outlet that Secretary Marco Rubio has led the State Department to take a surgical vetting approach to ensure individuals in America as visitors are abiding by our laws. We established an action working group, which has resulted in thousands of visas being revoked because these individuals broke our laws. This is what effective governance looks like. According to the New York Post, which first reported on the number, some serious crimes included arson, robbery, domestic abuse, wildlife and human trafficking, child endangerment, and driving under the influence. More than 500 students whose visas were revoked have criminal assault records.
Wow.
Yep.
Yeah, but they need their due process there, Bob.
They came and they were breaking the law with no consequences.
Yep.
So they set up a special action team to handle it.
Good.
And yeah.
Nice to see things getting done.
It is. And while they're arresting people on student visas that are breaking the law, mm-hmm. no one's above the law. So if you're a judge and you're breaking the law,
oh yeah,
you got to go.
Absolutely.
The Wisconsin Supreme Court, they issued the administrative order Tuesday calling for Milwaukee Circuit Court Judge Hannah Dugan to be temporarily relieved of her official duty. She was actually arrested and charged with obstruction of an official proceeding on Friday as evidence came to light that she had shielded an illegal immigrant from federal agents. She was also charged with concealing an individual to prevent discovery and arrest. She was messing with the feds.
Oh, man.
The federales. Yeah, you don't do that. And she will be suspended. That court order will be in effect, well, until the court decides otherwise, if and when. Yep, she'll be back in court on May the 15th to face federal charges of felony obstruction of a federal agency, concealing a person to help them avoid arrest. That's a misdemeanor. The FBI arrested Dugan on Friday for allegedly hiding a previously deported illegal immigrant in her jury room to stop him from being arrested. Hmm.
That is unreal to think a judge is literally hiding someone like that in their jury room.
They found out later that she was hiding him because they had recently struck a deal where she would get her lawn cut for just $50 a month. Thank you very much. Okay, that part might not be true.
Might not.
Maybe.
Possibly.
Oh, my goodness. Here we are on a happy Hump Day Trump Day. Big-time graduation taking place with both Santa Fe and UF this weekend. Some of these events actually start this afternoon and evening, but it's going to get very busy, especially Friday evening. Just, you know, as you make plans, just keep that in mind. You're listening to News Talk 97.3 The Sky.
We're taking back our country from a sick political class that got rich selling America out and bleeding America dry. We don't let that happen anymore. And we had four great years. We had the greatest economy in the history of our country. The stock market went up 88%. We did great. And we're going to do better now. Because now we're really, we learned a little bit.
Beware of the wet market. Bats and rhinoceroses having relations. I don't know how that whole thing happened. Oh!
I don't want to know.
That's right. It was a lab in Wuhan.
Well, yeah, that could have been.
That Dr. Fauci knew all about.
Uh-huh.
Oh, interesting. Oh, okay. Moving right along. Happy Hump Day, Trump Day. Great speech yesterday. Trump in Macomb County getting the people fired up and talking good things about what has occurred and what the future is going to look like, and it's looking pretty good. There is a Michigan congressman, though. You know, this bozo of the guy is named Sri Tandahar, and he is he represents Michigan's 13th congressional district. Well, you know, he has filed articles of impeachment against Trump and so-called acts of tyranny that undermine American democracy. Huh. Yeah. Not really sure what he listed. I have part of the deal here. And chances are, at least a lot of people haven't heard of this guy until now. I haven't. Many even wonder if the good people of Michigan in the 13th district itself even know who he is. One thing is certain, based on what we've seen, he doesn't exactly come off as a brilliant mind. Dinesh D'Souza, of course, who also comes from India, even pointed out that in India, and that's where this man is from, a man like Tandahar would be likely working as a waiter. As it turns out, he actually was at one point working as a janitor. Not that there's anything wrong with that. But Dinesh D'Souza's point was, look, this is their poster boy for the left's DEI movement. He arrived in the U.S. on a student visa in 79. He married an American woman in 84 and became a U.S. citizen as a result. In 1996, his wife committed suicide. And he even was in a short 15-minute film that was the dramatic retelling of the days before and after the death of Shamal Tandahar, a neurologist and a mom of two. She took her life in 1996 at age 37. And aside from that tragic story, the congressman has a closet full of skeletons. Yep. Apparently, cruelty to animals could possibly be one of the things that he may be involved with. How's that? Well, his former company, Anaclin Preclinical Services, was under fire after a 2010 bankruptcy that left 170-plus dogs and monkeys in alleged neglect. USA Today reported the animals caged with inadequate care. Staff climbed fences to feed them. Welfare groups ensured adoptions. But Tandahar denies cruelty, claims the animals were cared for, and a motion to sell them as assets was withdrawn. Yeah. Somebody from the Humane Society and other critics slammed the conditions as inhumane. And apparently, when these allegations came out, he tested drugs prior to going to market on dogs and monkeys, and when the business went under, the animals were abandoned. As a result of our research, no animal was ever harmed. This is a necessary evil. You've got to do testing if we want the medicine, Tandahar told Channel 7 investigator Jim Kreitzner at that time. This happened in 2010 in upstate Middletown, New York. The Times Herald Record covered it, posted a video on YouTube of the rescue of a reported 118 beagles. One woman said, I don't believe these animals have ever been outside, ever. He, of course, took absolutely no responsibility. In fact, he told the investigator that the blame is on Bank of America, which financed his business, foreclosed on the loan, and took it over. This is Bank of America. And the reporter said, not your fault? Nope, not my fault. Okay. And yeah, I'm not going to bore you, but it goes on. He had a rags-to-riches story, but that's not what the people on Capitol Hill are actually learning about this guy from Michigan. In just 11 months in office, he's gained a reputation for vanity in an institution that's powered by the stuff, burning through staff at a rapid clip, alienating his fellow members, and spending taxpayer funds on what some people, with knowledge of his office, view as naked self-promotion. The result is rampant questions about whether the working class people that he claims to represent, roughly one-fifth of his district families, are below the poverty line, truly have an effective congressman, and whether those families will choose to give him a second term in office. After the publication of this piece, Tandahar called it a hit job featuring anonymous, inaccurate information from political opponents and disgruntled former employees. He said, I'm hardworking and taken seriously as any member of Congress. So, yeah, you can make up your mind for yourself. I found that on Revolver News as they compiled some of those things. Yeah. Yeah, this guy has, you know, a bit of a sketchy past, if you will. But he filed articles of impeachment against President Trump, and he comes from a district that's heavy Democrat, and a huge percentage live below the poverty line. I wonder if there's a relationship between that. Heavily Democrat, yeah. Living below the poverty line.
I got a feeling there's a lot of places you could find that correlation.
You think so?
A lot of places in our country, yes.
Okay.
Just saying.
Yeah, yeah. I got a feeling that's probably it. Came out. I think it came out today, the 30th. Yeah. Senator Rick Scott announced the reintroduction of the country of origin labeling online. The COOL Act with Senator Tammy Baldwin. This will require online sellers of foreign-made products to clearly disclose both the country of origin and the seller's primary business location on their websites, with enforcement carried out by the FTC, the Federal Trade Commission. As a dangerous regime in communist China seeks global dominance and to destroy the American economy, this legislation will bring more transparency to online shopping so American consumers can make informed, safe choices for their families and support American businesses. He said right now it's clear that the United States businesses are competing against adversaries like communist China that will do everything in its power to destroy the American economy, American businesses, and our way of life. During my time as senator, I've pushed legislation, including the Cool Online Act, to require online retailers to list the country of origin for every product they sell, because Americans have every right to know where they're being made. So this is a good thing. Yep. And he's got some bipartisan support. Cool Online Act.
Cool.
And hopefully that'll be pushed forward. Hey, coming up in the 9 o'clock hour, we are going to talk to our Florida Ag Commissioner, Wilton Simpson. And there's some things that are going on in Tallahassee. And the Florida Farm Bill has passed the Florida legislature. And we'll talk about the the good and the bad. And
apparently there's a whole bunch of stuff in there, so I'm sure he knows all about it.
I'm sure he does as well. And then coming up this Saturday, Hot Rodding for Heroes Car Show.
Nice.
Yep. They do a big car show twice a year. This is the one that will be held at the High Springs Brewery. And it goes on this Saturday from 2 to 6. Cars and motorcycles. Registration is $25. And there's sponsorships available. And this helps to support veterans.
I'm going to try to get out there.
Our friends, the Marines are part of this as well. Big Mills Cheesesteaks will be on hand, serving up some Philly cheesesteaks. So, yeah.
There's a little pizza place right there you might want to walk over. Your lovely little pizza, sure.
That's something that I would be interested in, but might be out of town. Well, I'm going to be out of town. I want to see my sis.
Yep.
Don't see her that much. And she lives in Greenville, and we got to get together for our May birthdays.
Ah.
We always get together for May birthdays.
You've got a birthday in May, Bob? Greg says with fake surprise.
I don't like to talk a lot about it. I don't want a lot of expensive gifts.
Just a few expensive gifts would be fine.
I will appreciate anything that is given to me.
How do I know that? Well, it'd be a good trip.
You know, though, I don't even care what color or how used that 9/11 is.
Really?
I would accept it graciously.
Wow. Oh, such humility.
Now, the good Lord has blessed me and overblessed me. I lack nothing. But, yeah, I'd love to talk about my birthday. My son is Robert.
Yes.
His is on the 8th.
Right.
I'm Robert. I'm on the 13th.
Yeah.
My dad, Robert, was on the 17th of May.
Really?
And my sister's on the 23rd.
Wow.
And then you got Mother's Day in there.
Wow, that's a lot. That is a lot.
Yeah. So May is our get-together kind of month.
That. That's smart.
It's 8:45 right now on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Don't forget, tonight, the first 100 days, Trump Town Hall, hosted in part by Bill O'Reilly. That is tonight here on The Sky, 8 to 10 p.m. News Talk, 97.3 The Sky.
After years of leaders who sent your money to defend the borders of distant foreign nations, that's what we did. We'd fight for other nations, but not for ourselves. You finally have a president who is defending our borders and our nation.
The way it's supposed to be. Yes. It's a happy Hump Day Trump Day, my friends. As the president, everyone celebrates 100 days, so many things accomplished, and so much more to go. The crowd was very enthusiastic. Macomb County, otherwise known as Warren, Michigan, where I wouldn't say I grew up there. I left at 15, and I didn't grow up till I was about 45 or 55. Well, anyway. But it was nice to see a big crowd there. The people were very, very excited. And so, yeah, 100 days, Trump celebrating, so was the whole crowd. In fact, even Governor Gretchen Whitmer of Michigan, the Democrat, oh, I thought D, all this time I thought the D stood for dominatrix. Huh. And I thought her name was Governor Gretchen Whitmer. I wonder where that came from. Anyway.
Huh.
Apparently, after being caught in the Oval Office and she tried to hide her face behind a folder, she made light of that later on and, in fact, gave the president a warm greeting on the tarmac when he got to Michigan.
Nice.
Yeah, she didn't have to do that. She did. I don't think she was wearing leather, although I thought she would. Anyway, President Trump has her step up. Talk to the troops there. This is at Selfridge Air Force Base, which I know has kind of been on a list, on and off a list for closure for quite some time. Instead, Trump's turning everything around there. I'll explain in a minute. But Gretchen Whitmer, the governor, she said, I hadn't planned to speak, but on behalf of all the military men and women who serve our country and serve so honorably on behalf of the state of Michigan, I'm really damn happy we're here. Meaning, you know, the base is still here or whatever. And, yeah, she is actually making a very, was it a calculated move? Probably. As much as I disagree with a lot of her policy stuff, she's actually a pretty smart woman. And so was there a level of calculation here? Yeah. And I think she sees it. And what she sees is, look, I'm the governor of Michigan. Now, Michigan has a lot of Democrats, but the reason they're Democrats, the vast majority of them, is not so that they could mutilate kids and turn them all into transsexuals or whatever. The reason a lot of them are Democrats goes right back to being union members, working for the automotive industry. Yeah, that's where that Democrat root and the tie-in began, because they're workers. You see, but what's happened in the ensuing years is the Democrats started to show how they didn't give a darn about the working class and minorities, by the way. And Trump and the Republican Party have reached out. And clearly he is the president of the working people. He wants to make conditions in life better for everyone. But first and foremost, the working people, bringing jobs back, manufacturing back. And Governor Whitmer is going to be the beneficiary of that to some extent. And she's smart enough to recognize that. So, yeah, was there some calculation? Probably. But what happened once again is, for people on the left, I know you're going to throw up a little bit in your mouth, but I'm going to say it. Trump actually turned on his charm. And that's what he does. Mm-hmm. I know when I say Trump and charm, some people can't handle that, and I'm sorry about that. But during the event, Trump unveiled plans to swap out the old A-10 Warthogs that are based there at Selfridge and bring in 21 brand new F-15EX Eagle II fighter jets.
Ooh.
Yeah. And you know the folks there were pretty excited about it. And Trump, gracious as ever, says, so I want to thank Governor Gretchen Whitmer for bringing it also to our attention very strongly. And you know, I'm not supposed to do that. She's a Democrat. They say, don't do that. Don't have her here. I said, no, she's going to be here. She's done a very good job, frankly. And she was very much involved with the Republicans. They worked together on saving it, meaning the base. And it was not easy. So I want to thank you very much, Gretchen. Good job. Meanwhile, her husband still can't get that darn boat out in the lake. You remember that story?
Oh, he tried to pull a little rank there. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. She had everybody shut down for COVID. I mean, hammered down tight. And the first thing her husband does, he gets on the line to his local marine. He's like, dude, drop the boat in, man. We're taking it out this afternoon. No, that's not possible. What? Why not? Well, the governor ordered us not to.
Mm-hmm.
Well, listen, the governor's my wife, And, you know, I'm sure she would give you permission. So go ahead and put the boat in the water. Oh, because you're the governor's husband. You want us to put your boat in the water.
Uh-huh.
Can I put everybody else's boat in the water? Well, no, no, you can't do that.
Whoops.
Oh, okay, I see. The guy hung up the phone, he goes, jerk, and immediately called the press.
Yes.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's
rules
so frustrating.
Rules for thee,
yes,
but not for me.
What's his name up in Jersey, you know, had his family out on the beach when everybody else couldn't be?
Chris Christie?
Yes. I mean, it's like...
You know why he couldn't go out there with other people around?
Why is that?
They keep trying to roll him back in the water. If he's not making out with Obama at the same time.
Wow. It's a visual I just really didn't need. Just saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Gretchen...
Oh, yeah.
Is she changing her ways? It's possible.
Maybe not.
No? Maybe not?
You know.
Santa Fe College and the University of Florida both have big graduations going on this weekend. I think we're talking just at UF alone, 10,500 students. And Santa Fe's getting big, too. So that's going to impact roads and restaurants, et cetera. Just plan accordingly. The busiest day will probably be... Friday, as the graduation ceremony for a lot of the UF graduates will be at Steve Spurrier Florida Field at 7 o'clock Friday evening. You're listening to 97.3, The Sky.